Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for our first ever Tarbiyah Project podcast. I am Taha Khan, your co-host, joined by my co-host and co-founder of Tarbiyah Project, my wife and best friend, Sara Qureshi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
So, to be very honest, this is like take six at this point, and this chai was full before we started. But it is no longer full, which means we are fully caffeinated and ready to go. So, because we want to keep this first episode nice and tight. So, let's get right to the point. Because those who are clicking here and on our channel, first of all, thank you for coming to our channel. They're probably kind of searching around question marks is, what on earth are these guys doing around tarbiyah?
Mm-hmm.
What makes them qualified? Who are they? And what's their story? Mm. So, Sara Qureshi, if you can start us
off. Can you please not take my full name when you're talking to me?
Sara Qureshi, if you don't mind kind of walking us through, first of all, who you are, just your everyday personality, persona. And I want to maybe tease out one or two incidents that have, alhamdulillah, finally allowed us to come to this point, this project. And inshallah, for future episodes, we'll touch on the unraveling of that story. And inshallah, take deeper dives of some concepts of where and why we've named this Tarbiyah Project and so on and so forth. So, Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, so basically, I am Sara. I originally from Pakistan, and younger years were in Pakistan. I grew up then in Australia, and then got married to you and moved to the States. So quite a lot of moving around, and we now live in Dallas, U.S., and we have four beautiful, mashallah, kids who are 8, 6.
Did you just forget our daughter?
8, 6, 3, and 1, alhamdulillah. And primarily, I've been a stay-at-home mom for, you know, since my first child. But before then, I have, you know, been in the field of social work, and I've, you know, worked in the field of working with children and that kind of thing. And just recently, you know, I have completed my certification in trauma-informed parent coaching, and working as a certified trauma-informed parent coach with Muslim moms.
Yep.
So that's a gist.
Mm-hmm.
You said keep it short, so I'm keeping it super short.
Yeah.
And please introduce yourself as well.
I'm Wingman. So basically, alhamdulillah, Taha Khan. I am a father to four beautiful children, 8, 6, 3, and 1. I remembered all four of them. See? And then I am a pharmacist by training. Pays the bills around here, alhamdulillah. But the more important job, alhamdulillah, is the part that we're here to talk about, which is raising the next generation to the best of our ability. So with that, a husband to a loving wife, a father to four beautiful children, a dedicated son, may Allah accept, and brother and a community member, etc., etc., like many, many of you out there, mashallah. This journey by no means is overnight or worthy of just one episode. But like many parents out there, parenting is something that, alhamdulillah, we were blessed with. And three kids into it, we had a trip back to see my in-laws or Sarah's family in Sydney, Australia. In that particular trip in 2022 of June, there was kind of this awakening moment. And that's what Sarah will walk us through. It was a fairly extended trip because we had gone after some time and after COVID and etc. And kids were young and obviously out of their routine, etc. And there were some major revelations just from a parent perspective that came about. So, Sara, if you can walk us through, you know, where you found yourself as a mom, mentally, physically, and how that then led to a transformative experience that, alhamdulillah, started a journey after that.
Right. Yeah, so June of 2022 was one of many episodes of complete feeling like complete failure, you know, having an explosion. You know, I didn't know all of these words when I was going through it, so I can call it emotional dysregulation right now, or feeling triggered and all of those things. But to be very honest, I didn't know all of these words at that time, all it felt like, and I don't know if any of you can relate, is you found yourself where you're being blessed with these beautiful children, mm-hmm. but you don't quite actually know what to do. And, you know, it's like small moments when the kids are fighting amongst themselves or seemingly small. Like, you don't, if you look at it from a very rational perspective, it should not be something that's causing a reaction where you're just screaming or shouting or yelling or hitting, you know. In that moment, you just feel like you don't know what you're doing. You feel completely stuck, overwhelmed, and exhausted. Because if you have multiple children, or even if you don't have multiple children, you know, sometimes you're sleep deprived. If you're out of your own routine, you're just stuck. And so I think it was that moment where the two older kids were fighting. They were dysregulated. Yeah. They were just, you know, not acting like themselves. I was not in my routine. I didn't, you know. And I completely lost it. And it was a moment where my 5-year-old, my 3-year-old, they were crying. I was crying. Wow. And I was looking at them and I could just see their eyes filled with fear. And my eyes and my heart was also filled with fear because I knew that something needed to change, but yet it seemed like a road that seemed completely foggy. I didn't even know where to take my first step. I didn't know how to move forward. Despite being in this field, despite working with other parents previously, when it came to me, it seemed different. It seemed more overwhelming, more exhausting. And I'm sure a lot of parents can relate to that. It's different moments, you know, when your kids are fighting or when your children are talking back to you or when you're struggling with, you know, potty training or sleep training or feeding, you know, when you feel like they're not being grateful to you or, you know, not following the deen of, you know, when they're not praying on time. It could be whatever the reason is, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, both me and you had talked about wanting to raise a family, being very Allah-centric, being on the Quran and Sunnah, wanting to do tarbiyah of our children. And I think that moment was a clear distinction between who I wanted to be as a mother, what I had envisioned for myself and my motherhood to look like, and the reality of it being so far away from that. And the reality that it is far away, and also the acceptance that I need to change something. This I'm not going to continue like that. And I had no idea what to do. But I think there was that pivotal moment of, okay, let's see what's out there. Let's see what I can do.
So I guess the question I have is why you had, it sounds like you had a vision for motherhood, right? Can you describe what that vision for motherhood was, or even is? Because it's what you compared yourself against.
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, I always wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be a mother, alhamdulillah. That was my one ambition in life. And, you know, I had been in this field and I had been reading and listening to podcasts and consuming a lot of content around this. And even Islamic lectures, when they talk about you have to build your connection in the first 7 years and then you have to, you know, that works out when you're, when the kids are older. And I was also very much aware of the struggles and issues that our children face, especially in the West, when they do get to the preteens and the teenage years, and then you're the youth, you know, the young adult age. So I knew that that is to come. And for us to build that foundation in the first few years was so critical. So my vision, I suppose, was to build a connection with my children that was pure and deep, and where they knew that I got them, not just physically, not just feeding and taking care of them physically, but that they're safe around me and that they can come to me whenever, if they are in trouble, then they know that I can go to Ammi and Baba. Doesn't matter what mistake, what struggle they're going through. I don't want them to have to go to their friends or go to anyone else, to a source that's not going to guide them, you know, from an Islamic perspective. And I knew that the path I was on was not leading towards that. Because if they're scared of me, the chance of them coming to me when they actually need me is very little.
Yeah. So one of the things I think what I extracted from that journey, and inshallah in a follow-up episodes in the future, when we dive into different angles of this story, you know, I remember my first kind of thinking about trauma. Like, what are these definitions? Like, what do you mean when you say, you know, respectful parenting? Like, oh yeah, I respect my children. But that's exactly where a lot of us start with parenting. And I know you have a story around it. And it'll take like 4 more episodes if we start now. But hold that thought. I think what to me was a very, very good reminder at that time and validation is your ability to look at parenting not as a reactive thing, but as a proactive. Something to be managed, something to be proactively researched and studied and reflected upon. Tadabbur, right, as the Quran teaches us, it's a responsibility, it's an amana that's given to you. So everything that you just said, what I love is it points to process. It doesn't point to, we want A++ kids in 20 years that will be running the world. That's none of your responsibility.
It's not
in your hands. It's in Allah's hands what He chooses to extract from which person, right? But the process, the step is very much in your hand. And it's in your sphere, locus of control, if you will. This idea that parenting just happens to me. Child is hungry, feed them. Child needs clothes, clothe them. Child needs a place to live, give them a roof. Child needs school fees, pay for school. And 16, 18 years go by, and how many countless stories do we see where there's parents who come and are baffled at what happened? And the story started actually way before. And that's where I think that shift is so critical, that this is not a reactive place to be as parents. It took me some time, it took you some time, but that's where our journey now lies, is to empower others, imperfect like us, join hands as a community, and at the very least make an attempt to make this a proactive venture,
right,
where we study, where we reflect, where we discuss, we share, talk about parenting. Why don't we talk about parenting as a challenge of life, where many of us fall, but get back up, right? That's what we teach our kids. Well, as parents, we fall all the time. So you fell in June of 2022. We fell as a family. You got up. What did you do when you got up?
The first thing, as I said, I didn't know. So I started looking for resources online. And as any other mom would, I went onto Facebook groups. And I said, you know, where do I find these resources? And I kept getting pointed towards this Facebook group called Respectful Parenting by Maryam Munir. Maryam Munir is now a mentor, alhamdulillah, for me. And I've done multiple courses through her. But the first one that I took in November of 2022 was the Anokhe Parents 8-week course led by one of their lead parent coaches, Sana. And
can I maybe do a quick pause there? Because you said a lot there.
Oh, okay.
Part of that realization in that 6 months, I think June of 2022 and then November, December, it was your first ever course as a parent. But somewhere along that journey, you swallowed and gulped down everyone has a resistance to help. I got this. Especially as something as sometimes vague as parenting. I don't need to be taught how to parent.
That's not what we've been modeled, right? Like,
correct.
It's like you have the baby and then it's supposed to be all organic. I mean, now that I look back at it and in hindsight, or maybe some of you are going through that too, where, you know, it's like you almost think you take degrees to do jobs, you know, whether it's a small course or a long course. And then parenting comes, which is the most important job of your life. the one that you're actually going to be accountable for on the day of judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say, you know what? It's just going to come to me.
Mm.
It's going to be natural. While we are living in an environment where we're extremely disintegrated as a society,
yep.
We don't live in villages anymore. We don't have support systems. A lot of us live away from our parents or away from that support, you know, the community support.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has become even more incumbent upon us to look for that, yeah. that help. But yes, there was that huge resistance to, like, I have to pay to learn parenting? Like, I have three kids already, you know?
Yeah. That's my degree.
So it was very much a skeptical step taken, you know, very much like, okay, well, let's just see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my 1 week. I'll see if it's actually worth it. And then I will decide.
Critical in your journey. I say that because so many of our brothers and sisters out there who are listening with that very contemplation, like hands-off mindset of, yeah, you know, something's up. Something doesn't feel right. I need to do better.
Mm.
Right? They agree with that, perhaps. You know, you're out there. And but there's this resistance of the nafs to rely on the self. No, I got this. I'll figure it out. And just know that there are people out there before us, with us, and in the future who will run that path. And at some point, you'll have to choose to, whether you choose the same process again and again, same outcome, or do something a little differently because that's
what demands it. I think to that point, right? I think you can, there's a lot of free resources out there. There's a lot of resources. You could read books and you could do articles.
Yeah, of course.
I think with parenting, it's a very interesting paradigm because you're always catching up on the job because by the time your child is two, by the time you learn about what to do with a two-year-old, they're already like 2.5 because, you know, as a parent, you're already busy, you're having difficulty. This is what happened to me when, you know, our oldest was throwing his sippy cup and I was like, I have to learn about this. By the time I learned about, you know, what to do and how to deal with a child who throws their cup, they would move on to the next milestone.
And we had one more or two more.
And we had, you know, so I think it was like a catching in. So it's like if I can go to a resource who has already done this, who's studied in this arena, then I'm fast tracking my process of learning.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing a lot of damage to my children in the meantime.
And you're absolutely spot on. You can learn everything. For you know, the age of internet leaves very few things that you cannot learn on your own. You can Google, you can chat 100%. GPT, whatever, right? There are things that, of course, you still can't access. But the idea here is community.
Mm.
That we have completely actually neglected that there was a time, and even now, the Islamic paradigm is about the community aspect of building. When we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, both those verbs are in plural form. It's not I seek help, it's we, Ya Allah, worship you and we seek your help.
Mm.
So Islam has a huge emphasis on the community.
The Ummah. Yeah.
And so when you look at parenting as a subset of that, that means your extended family used to be part of that. Well, no longer, right? Many of us are spread out. Westernization has led to individualism, all these things we'll talk about on a different podcast. But the idea here is to come back to a community-based mindset for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, part of this project is that as well.
I just want to highlight one thing. A lot of, because our kids, our oldest is 8 years old, and I think a lot of us, what we're talking about is building that foundation at the younger age. I don't want to exclude the parents who might be listening who do have older children, who do have kids who are in their preteens or teenagers or even young adults. Because what we know through, even from an Islamic perspective and a neuroscientific perspective, is that there is always that hope and that window to change.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there is, yes, of course, it's very important to build that foundation in the younger years. But there's always, always a hope and a window of opportunity to rebuild connection with your children or with anyone when you have become distant.
SubhanAllah. Excellent, excellent start, I think. So just to close that loop, you went on to do Anokhe Parents, Parenting, Anokhe Mentors, but also with Maryam Munir. MashaAllah, Anokhe Coaches, right? You graduated from that program.
Yes.
You are now certified parent, trauma-informed parent coach. You're offering a bunch of things, and inshallah we'll talk more about Tarbiyah Project. Tarbiyah Project wasn't always called Tarbiyah Project, by the way, so hint hint for the next podcast, inshallah. But I think this is a phenomenal start,
inshallah,
because it opens the door to the mindset
mm-hmm.
that led us to where we are today. But inshallah, if you have any questions or interest in double clicking into any of what we talked about, please like, subscribe, and comment below for
us. We would love
to
our community's support. You are our community.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't pretend to know everything.
Absolutely.
We are not experts in anything. The only thing we do feel a deep desire to do is whatever we're learning, we want to share, however imperfect
inshallah.
It may be.
Yeah.
Because our niyyah is very pure, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And so if you all have something to share back, to add to that, you know, please do, because that's the whole purpose of this, inshallah.
All right. So with that, we'll be back with more. Don't go too far. And until then, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Thank you for your time. And this time my chai is done. So no more retakes of this episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa salam.